This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. A food desert is a place where healthy food is hard to find. Neighborhoods where the closest stores are filled with highly processed packaged food and fresh vegetables are scarce. It's not as much about hunger as it is about access. Food deserts are a source of concern because the people who live there are at risk of not meeting their nutritional needs. And these places can be found in urban and rural areas. Here in North Carolina, efforts are underway to eradicate food deserts. And here to talk about that is Wendy Noel. She's manager of Trosa Grocery in Durham. And Joshua Stack is with us. He's the director of communications for Manna Food Bank, a Western North Carolina nonprofit organization that collects, stores, and distributes food. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks for having us, Frank.
Wendy, I talked a little bit about what a food desert is. Can you give me a better description?
Yeah. Well, like you said, it's primarily a lack of access to an adequate selection of fresh and affordable foods. It's not necessarily a complete lack of stores in the area. It's often an issue of transportation and primarily, again, a lack of access to the fresh fruits, vegetables, things that you need to lead a healthy lifestyle.
So what's the impact on a community?
There are the obvious health impacts of not having access to nutritious foods. There can be higher incidence of diabetes, higher incidence of being overweight or obesity. And it means lack of transportation to stores means that
Well, no, if you're relying on public transportation or it's hard to get to, you're going to have to go to the nearest mini-mart, and whatever is in that mini-mart is what you're going to have to eat, because otherwise you're carrying bundles of groceries very far and maybe taking two buses to get it done, right?
Yeah, exactly. It makes the basic grocery shopping experience a whole lot more time-consuming, a whole lot more difficult, and a whole lot more expensive in many cases, because if you do have to rely on the mini-marts, the prices in those stores tend to be a lot higher than grocery store prices.
And time's important, because if you're talking about people who may be working two jobs, then it takes me twice as long to get the food home that I then, and if we're talking about healthy food, I might have to do a little something too. I've got to chop it, clean it, and cook it a little bit in ways that I don't for packaged food.
Yeah. And I've talked to several customers who, before we were there, had to spend half a day 4 to 6 hours going to the grocery store, trying to figure out the bus system to get there, and then having to lug groceries and walk from the bus stop to home. It makes it really difficult to do a basic daily task.
Joshua, how are food deserts in rural communities different from urban communities?
Well, I think for us that we serve 16 counties in Western North Carolina. That's 6,400 square miles in our service area, which is mostly mountainous and mostly rural. So you have a different sort of isolation. Some of the issues that our population that we serve is confronted with on a regular basis is access, but sometimes there's not even a store there. The distance they have to travel from this rural, extreme rural setting, mountainous setting, they're confronted with transportation issues, a lack of public transportation, oftentimes a lack of a vehicle, maybe a one-car household, and different things like that. So while there might be a small gas station with some food within reach, or a smaller mini-mart type of place, the farmers markets, or ironically enough, aren't really setting up out there. There's a lack of agricultural lifestyle, as well as not as many large grocery chains are able to sustain themselves in a more rural setting, whereas if they're closer to a population hub, it would be a lot more accessible and easier for them to sustain a living.
Well, but that is ironic. There is a lot of food all around there. I don't know how big or how small are these communities, and why aren't there small grocery stores in these communities?
It's all about the economic strata. If there's not money to support the existence of a lot of these entities, smaller grocery entities or mini marts or stores, then they're not going to set up shop out there. We're looking at, in Western North Carolina, 28,270 unemployed people. You've got more than 100,000 people who are food insecure. So they're having trouble making ends meet, and that a lot of that has to do with a lack of access to manufacturing jobs and the decline of the rural farmer, his inability to compete with large agribusiness, and it's kind of a perfect storm of hardship, especially with a declining economy. It's not like people are opening up businesses every day, especially out in a rural center with a less population,
so
people to access it.
Wendy, in the urban areas, you have population centers and you have people who are spending money on something. In fact, in many cases, more money on food because of the higher prices at convenience-style stores. Why hasn't somebody? I mean, Trost has been in business for a little over a year now. So until then, there's been nothing, not much like it, right?
Yeah, a little under a year. We opened on May 5th. And I think the primary reason that bigger stores don't come into areas is, one, there aren't very many available lot sizes for larger stores in urban settings. There are also very specific population statistics that large stores go for, and often, even if it seems like there is a large population density that's in need of a store, the population isn't quite there for a large chain grocery store. And when there are a lot of other options available for grocery stores to go into, it's a lot easier to find large lot sizes outside the city a bit farther. There isn't much incentive for large stores to come into urban areas, especially when you have a population that is more price sensitive in low-income urban areas.
So they're looking at economies of scale and margins. If I've got enough money to invest in a small business, even a small store, I could take that money in the middle of the city. I could go out to the burbs and charge premium prices for things that I couldn't sell there. The margins are going to be higher, so it's a better use of my dollar.
Yes, exactly.
To invest in those things. Joshua, what does MANA do? Tell us how MANA tries to meet the needs in rural areas.
MANA operates a large-scale food acquisition and distribution system, and last year we distributed 9.1 million pounds of food to 255 partner agencies who are spread throughout our 16 counties, who then provide the direct service to more than 100,000 people seeking food assistance in a single year. We access this food from the food industry, local grocers and food industry partners, private donations, and the like. The difference, sort of another food desert issue up here, with us as a Feeding America food bank, which is our parent organization, and there's 200 Feeding America food banks. If you compare MANA Food Bank to the food bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina and Raleigh, their food vendors in their area are in the hundreds, whereas we have 60. Mm. So there is not as much to draw on to keep our supply line in.
Mm. Yeah, to keep people fed, right?
So
yeah.
We have to rely on a produce program, some of that. We have to rely on TFAP, which is the Emergency Food Assistance Program, which is a federal commodities program, and the fluctuations in funding for that program on a public policy level. We remain engaged with our lawmakers on a regular basis to keep those levels where they are now, because the need is so huge, as well as we do food stamp outreach or food nutrition services outreach in the state. We're on-site at these agencies with people coming in looking for a box or two of food to get them through the next week or two, and we try to screen them for eligibility and get them signed up for some benefits.
Because you're giving food away, right, Joshua?
Correct.
And at Trosa, though, you're operating as a business. Are you operating on a nonprofit basis? I mean, that's just a technicality, but the fact is you've got to operate as a business.
Yes.
Selling food.
Yes. Trosa Grocery is a vocational training business that's part of Trosa, which is a larger organization. Trosa stands for Triangle Residential Options for Substance Abusers. It's a nonprofit 2-year residential recovery program. And we run 6 vocational training businesses that generate revenue that we can use to meet our budget needs. the grocery store itself is a small size store, but with a really good selection of all your basic groceries, including 60 or 70 fruit and vegetable options. But we do operate like any other grocery store. We have our distributors.
And how's it going?
It's going really well. We're getting a lot of really positive feedback from customers, people who are really excited to have that access to fruits and vegetables, who are really excited to be able to walk to a store and get just what they need for dinner every day. We have a few customers who do come in 3 times a day and then others who come in for their weekly shopping trip. And I think it's making grocery shopping a whole lot easier in that area. And we're starting to really feel like we're the community grocery store.
Is it a model? Can we scale it up? Is it a model?
I think it's an excellent model for these sorts of ventures, especially as a vocational training business of a larger nonprofit. Our larger infrastructure of the organization can support our operations, especially in the startup phase. I think it could definitely be.
And the health, I know there are people involved now in doing tastings and other things to encourage people to come in and learn to cook and see what the value of this kind of food is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're working with the health department doing monthly recipes and doing taste testings for meals that are quick to make, relatively inexpensive, and that can be more nutritious than what people are used to.
I want to thank you both for being on the program today. Wendy Noel, manager of Trosa Grocery in East Durham. Joshua Stack, director of community communications for Manna Food Bank in Western North Carolina. It's a nonprofit that collects, stores, and distributes food. Find out more about Trosa Grocery at trosainc.org. Manna website is mannafoodbank.org. On the State of Things coming up, composer Steve Reich on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.